to the book of Mark, the 8th chapter, Mark chapter 8. Let me just make a few comments concerning next week. Now, Sister Ty has shared with you that we're going to be having a guest speaker next week, and Richard Meyer, and it's Brooke's uncle. But he is on a mission trip. I first learned of this endeavor that he is embarking upon about 2 months ago, I guess. And the Spirit of the Lord, when I read what he was endeavoring to do, the Spirit of the Lord just quickened my heart and said, I want you to be a part of that. And so I invited him to come and speak rather than me just being a part of it and giving an offering to him. I felt the Lord would desire for us as a body to be a blessing to him. And I will just tell you of his endeavor briefly, and I'm sure he will be sharing more with us. But he is a young man that has been saved by the grace of God from prison to the pulpit, and just an awesome testimony. And he is now the minister, one of the ministers in a church over in Nampa, and he is on staff over there. But he is preparing to go on a mission trip and take a group of young people into the inner city of San Diego, California. And I just felt like the Lord would have us to be a part of that. So I'm just forewarning you that I want you to come and I want you to hear his testimony and I want you to be blessed, but I'm just forewarning you that I would love for you to be able to just set aside a little something to help him on his way. And how many of you know that the Bible said when we are a part and we give and we bless that endeavor, then whatever happens on the other end, whatever God does and whatever transpires, we have a part of that. We are connected to that, and I want to be connected to it. So if you can, pray about it this week and ask the Lord what he would have you to do and what you can set aside for that particular purpose. And I'm sure that it will be a blessing to them, and I'm sure that it will be a blessing to us. Amen. Praise God. So Mark chapter 8, beginning with verse number 22, all right? Mark chapter 8. And we're going to begin with verse number 22. The Bible said, and he cometh, Jesus, he cometh to Bethsaida, and they bring him a blind man, or they brought unto him a blind man, and besought him to touch him. And Jesus took the blind man by the hand, and he led him out of town. Let me just stop right there for just a moment this morning to just say I'm glad that Christ has an intimate touch and he takes us by the hand individually. Can you say amen? And he took the blind man by the hand and he led him out of town. And when he had spit in his eyes, he put his hands upon him and he asked him if he saw aught, or if he saw anything. And the blind man looked up and said, I see men as trees walking. And after that, Jesus put his hands again upon his eyes and made him to look up. And the blind man was restored and saw every man clearly. And Jesus sent him away to his house, saying, neither go into the town, nor tell it to anyone in the town. And I'm going to stop right there this morning. I will ask if you will bow your heads and let's pray and ask the Lord for his anointing to minister the word. Father, we are so thankful this morning for the touch of your Spirit that we feel. So grateful for the intimate touch of the hand of God. This morning, Father, I pray that you would add a blessing to the reading of this word. And I would ask, oh God, that you would anoint me to be a blessing. That you would put your word in my mouth. That you would quicken my thoughts. That you would empower what is spoken. Ordain my speech this morning. Let it come forth under the anointing of the power of the Holy Ghost. And I pray, Heavenly Father, above all things, that you will have your preeminent will in our hearts through this word today. Of my own self, I am so inadequate. But if you will touch me and enable me and bless me to be a blessing, then we shall be blessed indeed. I ask for that this morning, Lord. I pray for liberty. I pray, Heavenly Father, that you will let me minister on every level where each one receives and our eyes, the eyes of our understanding are open. Have your way now, I pray. We will forever give you the praise for all of these things. We ask it in Jesus' mighty name, and everyone in agreement said amen. So I'm going to title my message this morning, In Need of a Second Touch. In Need of a Second Touch. We just had our eyes closed, but I'm going to ask you if you will close them just once more, just for a moment. Your eyes are closed, and let me ask, what do you see? Darkness? Do you see maybe a glimmer of light? Do you see maybe an image from memory? Think about it for a moment. Think about a life with no light and a life where there was never a place or a point where you saw the face of your loved ones. Think about a life where you never saw the brightness of the sun. Think about a life that was limited to touch, taste, hear, and smell, and never having the ability to see with your natural eye. How limiting that could be. How debilitating that could be. You may open your eyes, and I thank you. Our eyesight is so precious to us. I said our eyesight is so precious to us. And all around the world every year, there are millions and millions, and I would dare say even billions of dollars that are spent to enhance our eyesight. Because we all understand, we are all keenly aware of our need to see clearly. We have eye protection when we begin to do certain activities, such as weed eat the yard. Eye protection because we want to protect our eyes because our sight is precious unto us. And this morning, if I may, I would like for all of us to understand that there is a spiritual equivalent to that natural sight of man. God has given each one of us the eyes and the ears of the Spirit to both hear and to see into the realm of the Spirit. God said to Ezekiel concerning the spirit, the spiritual condition of the people in his day, and you will find it in Ezekiel chapter 12 and verse number 2. God says to Ezekiel, "Son of man, thou dwellest, you are dwelling in the midst of a rebellious house. A house which have eyes to see, but they see not. They have ears to hear, but they hear not." Amen. For they are a rebellious house. What God was saying was that the people that you are surrounded with and surrounded by are a rebellious and a stiff neck and a hard-hearted people. And they have natural eyes, but they do not see into the realm of the Spirit. They have natural ears to hear, but they cannot hear what the Spirit says unto the church. Amen. I want you to understand this morning that there is a spiritual equivalent to the natural sight and the natural hearing of man. And just as our natural sight is to our body and our human flesh, our spiritual sight is just as precious to our spiritual man. Amen. It should be guarded. It should be protected. It should be trusted. It should be leaned upon. We should be led by the eyes of the Spirit. We should be led by the ears of the Spirit. We should be led by the power of God, by the Spirit of God, seeing through not our natural eye. The Bible said we don't walk by sight, but we walk by faith. What does that mean? It means we walk by the spiritual sight, trusting and believing in the Bible and believing in the Word of God. Ezekiel, you are dwelling in a rebellious house. You are dwelling amongst a people that have eyes to see, but they see not. You are living and dwelling among a people that have ears to hear, but they hear not. Jesus said the same thing of the Pharisees. And in fact, Jesus asked the question of his disciples right here in Mark chapter 8. Look at verse number 18. He said, having eyes, see ye not? And having ears, hear you not? Amen. Let me just tell you, Jesus was talking to his own disciples, and he says, don't you understand? Having eyes to see, can't you see? Having ears to hear, can't you hear? Don't you perceive what I'm speaking of? Don't you understand what I am talking about? All of us here this morning at some point have experienced spiritual blindness. Amen. I said all of us here this morning at some point in our life have experienced, amen, spiritual blindness in one way or the other. We may have never lost our natural sight. Amen. But my heart went back to the old hymn that sings, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I once was blind, but now I see. Do you remember this morning, the day when you saw your need for a Savior? Do you remember the hour when your sins were washed away? Do you remember the day when you saw the Redeemer coming your way and your soul cried out, Jesus, have mercy upon me, and he saved your soul? Hallelujah. I remember the day and I remember the hour. When my eyes were open, not my natural eye, but the eye of my spirit, when my eyes were open and I saw clearly my need for a Redeemer. I saw clearly my need for a Savior. But beloved, I submit to you this morning that even after we have come to Christ, there are times in our spiritual walk and in our spiritual sight, we become shrouded and we begin to lose our focus. And we, like the blind man, we may see, but we do not see well. And we are in need of a second touch. At some point or another in our Christian experience, maybe we have lost our focus, lost our direction, and we have groped along life's road trying to find our way. And let me just tell you something this morning. If we are not careful, we can become spiritually blind once again, like this blind man. We become, quote, and I unquote, like men walking as trees. Nothing's clear. Everything's out of focus. Nothing seems right. Everything's out of whack. And we stand in need of another touch from the Master's hand. I'm talking about a second touch from the hand of Jesus. Here in our text this morning, I believe that we can find some help for our soul. I believe that we can find some understanding for those who maybe things have become out of focus and who can't seem to feel and have a hard time perceiving and comprehending into the realm of spiritual things. I believe here in our text this morning, there are some answers for us. God led me to this text of Scripture. Long about Friday, I was praying and asking the Lord what he would have for me to bring into this service this morning. And God brought me to this setting of Scripture. And I began to study and I began to read and I began to search and I began to dig. And I'm going to be honest with you this morning. I think I came up with more questions than I came up with answers. Amen. Let me just share with you this morning what we do know. Because of all of the verses that we could read in the Bible, of all of the stories that we could read, of all of the testimonies that we could read for the believer, this seems to be such a strange setting of Scripture. Such a strange thing of events taking place here. Let me just share with you this morning what we do know. We know that the blind man was from the little town Bethsaida. We know that he was from Bethsaida, the town, and this is a town in which Jesus condemned, a town in which Jesus passed judgment. Let me teach for a minute. If you looked at Matthew chapter 11 and verse number 21, you would hear the words of Jesus where Jesus said, "Woe unto thee, Chorazin, and woe unto thee, Bethsaida. For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and in Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and in ashes." In other words, Jesus was saying in Matthew, amen, that he was passing judgment upon the city of Bethsaida. Amen. He was passing judgment upon it, because if the mighty works that had been done in that city had been done in other cities, they would have repented a long time ago. But they refused to believe. They refused to accept him. And that would explain in my mind why Jesus led the blind man out of town. He led them here. He led him out of town to work this miracle of healing, simply because he had already done enough mighty works in that town for them to believe. And yet they rejected Christ and they refused to receive him. And he left them and he walked out of the city with this man in need. He carries him out to the outer part of the city. It would also explain verse number 26 in my mind. Verse number 26, you will remember, he told the blind man after the miracle, he said, "Don't you go back into that city. I don't want you to go back into the city. I don't want you to testify of what's happened to you. I want you to just go home." They've already had enough. They've already received enough. They've already been witnessed to, and they've rejected me, and I've passed judgment upon them. So number one, we know that the blind man was from Bethsaida. We know that someone must have cared for this blind man, because they brought him to Jesus. Amen. He must have had friends that cared for him. How many of you know friends that have friends, amen, need to lead friends to Jesus? Hello? Amen. I'm going to tell you something. The friends brought him to Jesus. He didn't know anything about the Lord. He didn't know anything about Christ, but he was in need. And the friends knew the Lord and knew of the miracles and knew of his miracle working power. And the friends bought the friend and said, "You got to touch our friend here." Amen. I said, friends ought to bring friends to Jesus. And then we get to the portion of Scripture where the questions just start becoming mind-boggling. We know that Jesus spit in his eye. Not one eye, but two eyes. He did what? Now I'm going to tell you right now, I still don't get it. He spit in his eyes. The Bible gives us a record of six different individuals throughout the Scripture whom Jesus gave back their sight. Six different times in the New Testament, Jesus gave back the blind their sight. There are instances where Jesus simply spoke a word. A blind man came to him and he said, "What would you have me do unto you?" He said, "Lord, that I might receive." He said, "Such is your faith, so be it unto you." And his eyes were open. He didn't even touch him. There was an instant where Jesus spat upon the ground, made a little mud puddle, and pasted the guy's eyes with the mud and said, "Now go wash." And the Bible said when he went and washed, he came seeing again. He never did the same thing twice. Six different times he ministers to the blind. And yet in all of these instances, we never see Jesus spitting on someone's face. Why? Why? For what purpose? I've always said my spittle is anointed, but I'm just going to tell you right now, I'm not so sure. I mean, you know, somebody spit in my eye, then be fighting words. Can you say amen? I don't get it. I don't get it. It's an isolated incident. Why did he do it? What we do know is that Jesus healed him partially at first. Amen. With imperfect vision, he touched him, spat upon his eyes, and said, "Look up, what do you see?" And the man said, I don't see clearly. I see men walking about as trees. How many of you know that's not focus? That's not clarity. That's not sight. That's Mr. Magoo. Right? What we do know is that Jesus healed him partially and then touched him again and healed him completely. We know by looking at the other Gospels, Matthew, Luke, and John, amen, that the Gospel of Mark is the only place that this particular story is related to us. It is not found anywhere else in the Word of God, but only in the book of Mark. We also know that it took place right after Jesus had fed 4,000 with just a few loaves and a few fish. Amen. We know many things about the text, but I'm here to tell you there are some puzzling things that we do not know. And we can assume and try to interpret to the best of our ability, but I'm afraid that many of our desires to interpret what transpired here go left unanswered. Here's what's left unanswered. Why the partial healing? Why spitting in his eyes? Was it a lack of faith on the blind man's part? Did Jesus have some sort of power failure or some kind of glitch in transmitting the healing power? Did Jesus have some kind of heavenly hiccup at just the wrong moment and it couldn't get across? You hear what I'm talking about? What happened? This is the only miracle in the New Testament where, amen, Christ had to do something more than once. Amen. Theologians have offered several scenarios, amen, that offer some kind of explanation. But I'm here to tell you this morning, none of them satisfy my curiosity. Let me just address a few things here this morning. Amen. First of all, the notion of Jesus having a power failure, amen, or some sort of heavenly hiccup is contrary to everything that we know in the scripture. This man, Jesus, was and is all powerful. Amen. The Bible says that he turned water into wine. The Bible said that he called a man that had been in the grave for 4 days by name and said, "Lazarus, come forth." The Bible tells us that he walked on water. The Bible tells us, amen, that he calmed the storm by saying, "Peace, be still." Amen. There was all power. Jesus said, "All power in heaven and in earth is given unto me." There was no heavenly hiccup. There was no glitch. He was and he is all powerful. Amen. And this healing of the blind man would have been just a minor exercise in the power of Christ. Amen. Some theologians and some scholars have proposed that Jesus was using some sort of living metaphor to explain the condition of the disciples. Let me give you their summarization. If you look in the verses above this story, verse 17 and verse 18, Jesus says to the disciples, Perceive ye not yet, neither understand? Have ye your hearts yet hardened? Having eyes, see ye not, and ears, hear you not? Amen. The God's Word translation puts it this way. Do you not understand yet? Don't you catch on? Are your minds closed? Are you blind and deaf? So Jesus Some say is using some sort of a living metaphor to speak about the condition of his disciples, because the disciples had seen light. They had seen, quote unquote, men walking as trees. They had heard Jesus speak. They had watched him teach. They had seen him cast out demonic spirits with just his word. Amen. They had a glimmer of who he was, but they really did not yet understand who he was concerning their salvation. And there are many theologians that believe, amen, that Jesus was using this blind man as some sort or some type of metaphor to say, amen, you are at this stage, men walking as trees, but there's going to come a point in time when your eyes are going to be open and you're going to understand completely and thoroughly who I am. There are other answers. Some theologians say that, amen, regarding this particular instance, that Jesus only partially restored the blind man's eyes to increase his faith, to cause the blind man to understand, to cause the blind man to perceive, or cause the blind man to understand that he and all men need Christ. Amen. Now let me just tell you right up front here this morning, I'm not going to pretend to have all the answers. And I'm not going to tell you I have all the answers. And every theological piece that I could read concerning this setting of Scripture left me still scratching my head. Because, I mean, somebody said, well, that living metaphor thing, that could be part of it. But I'm going to tell you something. The Bible makes it very clear that the disciples really didn't understand who Jesus was until after he was crucified and after he had risen from the dead. And they still didn't get it until he showed up and began to explain to them, amen, the Scriptures from the beginning. You hear what I'm talking about this morning? Amen. So I'm going to tell you, amen, right here and right now, Pastor doesn't have all the answers. There are some things that we are just not going to understand, and there are some things that we are just not going to know. But I'm going to tell you what the Spirit of God spoke to my heart as I was reading this passage of Scripture, and I began to study. What I can tell you of a certainty, and what God placed in my heart, is that there are going to come some times in our life when we are going to be blinded by discouragement. There are going to come some times in our life when we are going to feel as though we are fumbling and we are stumbling along life's road. There are going to come some times in our life when we, quote unquote, see as men walking around like trees. Amen. We, like the blind man, are going to have some times in our life where we do not see clearly, and we're going to need a second touch from the hand of our God. Hallelujah. Like the blind man, we cannot see clearly. Amen. We see jobs and dirty laundry and wash that needs to be done and dishes that need to be done. And we see striving to get ahead and making a living in this world. And we see the everyday bump and grind. And we see marriages and relationships that have soured and gone south. Amen. And we see all manner of life's issues. And we begin to focus on that. Amen. We, like the blind man, cannot see clearly. And we begin to see the desire for the pleasures of this world. And we begin to desire, amen, to strive to have acceptance in this world. And all of the things that we desire brings our focus out of whack. And we get our eyes out of focus. And we're going to need a second touch from the hand of the Lord to clear things up. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. While I begin to study this and God begin to roll these things over in my spirit this morning, I begin to think, oh God, how we need a second touch. Amen. Jesus spat upon his eyes and said, do you see clearly? He said, no, I don't got it. I don't got it together. Amen. I don't got it focused. Amen. Things aren't very clear. And Jesus
touched him again, and his eyes were made whole. You hear what I'm talking about this morning? Amen. We need a second touch, and praise be unto God. I'm here to tell you this morning that Jesus, amen, is beyond any shadow of a doubt the master of a second touch. Maybe you're here this morning and you feel as though you are walking through a place with no direction and no spiritual focus. I'm here to tell you, look up and say, oh God, I need a second touch. My prayer for me today, my prayer for our community today, my prayer for the church world as a whole today, my prayer is, oh God, we stand in need desperately of a second touch from the hand of God. We are all too often spiritually out of focus, out of touch, and confused like this blind man. But my prayer is, oh God, give us a second touch. Oh God, give us a touch that will clear up our eyesight. Give us a touch that will bring priorities back into focus. Give us a touch where we have an eternal understanding. Give us a touch that'll set our soul on fire. Give us a touch that'll change our life, change our walk, change our talk, and change our direction. Amen. Hallelujah. Touch me again, Lord. Touch me again and clear up my blurry vision. Touch me again and turn my opposition into opportunity. Touch me again and turn my problems into possibilities. Touch me again and turn my pain into glory. Touch me again and turn my sorrow into success. Touch me again and turn my tears into triumph. Touch me again and turn my grief into grace. Touch me again and turn my stress into strength. Touch me again, Lord, so I never give up. Touch me again so I jump up, stand up, and speak up for the power and the word of the living God. Touch us again, Lord. Touch us again and help us to see clearly. Amen. Jesus touched this blind man for the second time. And the Bible says when he touched him the second time, something broke loose. Help me, Jesus. When he touched him the second time, something broke loose. I'm going to tell you something. Some of you need a second touch to break it loose. Some of you need a second touch to break it loose. You hear what I'm talking about? You've been bound up. Amen. Stove up, rocked up in chains. Get another touch and the chains will drop off. Get another touch and he'll set your heart free. Hallelujah. He got another touch from the master's hand, and men no longer looked like trees. They no longer looked blurry. Suddenly, things begin to look like they ought to look. Oh, help me, Jesus. I'm here to tell you this morning, when we get a second touch, suddenly things are going to start looking like they ought to look. Sin is going to start looking like sin. Oh, help me, Lord. Right is going to start looking right. Wrong is going to start looking wrong. You hear what I'm talking about? We live in a world today, amen, we live in a world today and in a society today that have their morals and their values completely mixed up, and they are spiritually blind, and they call good evil and evil good. Amen, but I'm going to tell you, when you get a second touch from the hand of God, things are going to start looking like they ought to look. Amen. Things are going to start looking the way they should look. Up's going to look up, and down's going to look down, and right's going to look right, and wrong is going to look wrong. And you won't have to ask anybody, amen, am I messing up? You're going to know it in your heart. Amen. I don't care how much, listen to me for a minute. I don't care how much the world and how much the media calls wrong right. Wrong is still wrong. Hello? I said, I don't care how many people try to make you believe that wrong is right. Wrong is still wrong.
Hallelujah. You can put a sinner in a suit and he's still a sinner. You can put a reprobate in a mansion and he's still a reprobate. You hear what I'm talking about? Amen. You can put a fool in a Cadillac and he's still a fool. You can put a pig in the White House and he's just a head pig at the trough. Amen. Wrong is wrong. Right is right. Black is black. White is white. And when you get a second touch, it'll all clear up. Amen. What we need in the world today is a second touch. Amen. I got a list of things that the Spirit of the Lord started burning into my spirit. Amen. Maybe he's talking to just me, but I got a feeling he was talking to some of you this morning too when he had me write it down. Listen to me for a moment. The first touch gives sight, and the second touch gives clarity. The first touch gives life, and the second touch gives meaning to life. The first touch gives hearing, and the second touch gives understanding. The first touch will make you, amen, or give us a love for God, but the second touch will make you love your neighbor even as yourself. How many of you believe we need a second touch? Amen, amen. The first touch, amen, it's all about me. Help me, Lord. Bless me, Lord. But the second touch, it becomes use me, Lord. Whatever I have is yours. Amen. The first touch, we pray my will be done. But the second touch, we like Jesus begin to pray thy will be done. The first touch, we get a touch and a taste of the Spirit. But the second touch will make us cry out with a hungry heart. Fill me, Lord. Fill me until I'm overflowing with the power and the blessing of God. Amen. The first touch will make you pray for your friends. But the second touch will make you pray for your enemies. Hello? Amen, amen, amen. The first touch, we thank God for his blessings. And with the second touch, we begin to thank God for our trials. Hello? Amen. Somebody said, I don't like the trials. Do you know it's the trial that makes you strong? Amen. I'm going to tell you what. You come to a place sometime in your life where you turn around and look back over your life and say, oh God, I'm thankful that I had to go through that. Because if I didn't go through that, I wouldn't be where I am and I wouldn't be who I am. I said the first touch will make you thank God for the blessing. But oh, the second touch will make you thank God for the trial. Hallelujah. The first touch, we learn how to forgive. Amen. But the second touch will teach us how to forget. We need that second touch. Somebody said, well, I forgive them, but I ain't ever going to forget. Hello? The first touch will make you forgive. The second touch will make you just forget all about it. Amen. The first touch, we need a touch. We need a second touch in our life. A second touch from the hand of the Lord. I need another touch. I need a touch from God because I still got some rivers to cross. I need a second touch from God because I still got some mountains to climb. I need a second touch from God because I still got some battles that I gotta win. I need a second touch because my eyes need to see clearly and my eyes need to see brightly. Amen. And it is the second touch that'll cause us to have clarity and cause us to have focus. Amen. I don't know about you, but I'm here to tell you this morning that God desires to give us another touch. Some of us sitting here in this place this morning need a second touch from God. Don't set up in here and be too cool to care. Don't set up in here this morning and be too proud to participate. Don't set up in here this morning and be too sophisticated to serve. Don't set up in here this morning and be so opinionated that you can't say amen. Recognize the need. Recognize that you see men as trees walking about and say, oh God, I need a second touch of your Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen, amen. Don't set up in here this morning and miss what God wants to do in your life. What God wants to do in your spirit. I said our eyesight is precious. Amen. I'm going to tell you the enemy would do nothing better. He would love to do nothing more than to blind us spiritually. Let me give you a story. from God's word. If I can get it out. We all remember Samson. Samson fooled around and played around until his enemies captured him. Strong man of Israel. Spirit of God come upon him, and he would slay thousands with the jawbone of an ass. Spirit of God come upon him, and he picked up the city gates just to torment the people in the city and carried it to a top of the hill just so he could go, na 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 na. Hello? Powerful man of God. But he fooled around and played around until he found himself captured by the enemy. You know the first thing the enemy did? Plucked out his eyes. Close your eyes one more time for me. A man that once seen, a man that once walked under his own power, knew where he was going, now in darkness, being led by the hand of a child, made to grind at the mill day and night, mocked by his enemy, mocked by those that had captured him. I'm going to tell you something this morning. That's a picture of what the enemy would like to do in our life. Bring us to the place where we lose our spiritual sight. Lose our spiritual capacity. Amen. But there is a day, the Bible says, concerning Samson. You may open your eyes again. There was a day that Samson was brought before his enemies to be made sport of. And they had a little boy get a hold of the strong man. And a little lad led him into the temple where thousands were gathered to pay tribute to their false idol and their false god. And Samson leaned over and he spoke to the lad and he said, take me to the pillars of this building, so that I may lean upon them, so that I may rest upon them. And they led Samson to those pillars. The Bible said there was one on the left and one on the right. And Samson stood there blinded by his adversary. He placed his hands upon those pillars and he said, oh God, touch me one more time. Give me a second touch that I may destroy my adversaries. And the Bible said that God heard his prayer and gave him another touch, and strength came back into that man of God. And he began to push upon the pillars of that temple. And if you remember the story, the Bible said the pillars collapsed and the roof of that temple fell. And there were thousands that were killed that day. The Bible said so much so that Samson killed more there that day than he had all of his lifetime, the enemies of God. All because of a second touch. This is what the Spirit of the Lord put in my heart. If you're here this morning and your spiritual eyesight is out of focus, if you're not seeing clearly right and wrong, and you're not seeing clearly the path that the Lord would have you to follow, if you, like this blind man, are seeing trees, men as trees, walking about, uncertain, unsure, apprehensive, amen. God is a God of a second touch. You don't have to leave like you came this morning. Look right up toward heaven and say, oh God, touch me again. Touch me again and let me see clearly.
Touch me again and open the eyes of my understanding. Touch me again and let me avenge my enemies. Touch me again, amen, and let me avenge my adversary, the devil. Touch me again and let the anointing of God give me ability. And touch me again and let my spiritual sight become crystal clear. And God in his mercy and God in his grace, amen, will give you a second touch. Amen. That will bring clarity into your spirit and into your heart. How many of you remember the old song? I was shackled by a heavy burden, neath the load of guilt and care. Oh, neath the load of guilt and care, burdened down with the things of life, seeing but not really seeing, loaded down with guilt and shame. And then he says, the song said, and then the hand of Jesus touched me. And now I am no longer the same. He touched me. Oh, he touched me. And all the joy that floods my soul. Something happened, and now I know he touched me and made me whole. He touched me, oh, he touched me, and all the joy that floods my soul. Something happened, and now I know he touched me and made me whole. Slip your hands right up toward heaven this morning. I'm gonna close. Amen. I don't know your heart. I don't know what your spiritual sight is, but I'm here to tell you this morning, if you ain't seeing clearly, he's a God of a second touch. He's a God of a second touch. Amen. He's a God that'll give you an opportunity to see clearly again. He's a God that's waiting to give us clarity and waiting to give us sight that we may see. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I love you and I appreciate you and I worship your wonderful name this morning. Father, I pray today that by the anointing of your Holy Spirit, you will take the words that have been spoken. And Father, you will open the eyes of those who have been blinded and those who have been severely compromised. Their vision is not what it should be. I pray right now, Heavenly Father, that you are the God of a second touch and that you will come down in our midst right here this morning and touch us. Touch us once again with the anointing of your Holy Spirit. Touch us once again with the clarity that brings sight to our life. Touch us again and cause us to perceive and understand and hear and see into the realm of the Spirit. I ask in Jesus' name that every head is bowed, every eye is still closed. Are you here this morning? And you would lift up your hand and say, Pastor Gary, I needed to hear this word today. I needed to hear this word today. God sees some hands. Yeah. Yes, 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 yes. God sees hands that are being lifted. Yes. Amen, amen, amen. Amen, amen. Amen, amen. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Stand to your feet all over the building this morning. I bless you. I bless you, oh Lord. I bless you. If you lifted your hand and you feel like you need a second touch from the hand of God to open your eyes, step out into the nearest aisle. Come and stand right here in front of the house of God today. Amen. Step out and come.
See, I see men as trees walking around. I see men as trees. It's not clear. It's not in focus. I need the God of a second touch to open my eyes. Make me strong again. Hallelujah. Anyone else, you slipped up your hand, step out. Thank you. Amen. Anyone else, you slipped up your hand, step out. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Lift up your hands this morning, you that have come. Those of you that are still remaining in your seats, lift your hands this way and begin to pray for your brothers and sisters in the Lord, that God will open the eyes of their understanding, that God will cause them to see clearly. Oh God of a second touch. Oh God of a second touch this morning. Lord, we call upon your name. Oh God, let the anointing of the Holy Spirit come down. Let it rest upon these that have come this morning. Let the God of a second touch spill over into their heart. Pull the scales from our eyes and let us see clearly again. Oh God, have your way in our heart. Have your way in our life. Have your way in our spirit. In the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.